Holy Spirit is saying a lot this morning. He is here. You can grab your seats. He is here. He is moving. He is talking. He is showing things. And whatever you felt today in worship, I just encourage you later to share that with somebody and talk about it. Talk about what you saw, because he weaves a common thread when we're all together in unity like this. We've been away for nearly a month, and it's so good to be back today and with you all. And I was just thinking how, just to kind of wrap all of that up again, is how he keeps on getting better. And I just had this thought as we were singing that so we've been up in the Bay of Islands, and I haven't been there before. And the day we arrived, it was really beautiful. But after a week, it had gotten better and better and better. But it wasn't the location that got better. It was my experience of being there. And the more we explored and the more we adventured and the more we enjoyed it, the better it got. If we'd passed through, we would have been like, oh, that was a beautiful place. But now we just didn't want to leave. And I feel like God, that he keeps on getting better. That's what it is, because God doesn't change. We're told that in his word. But he keeps on getting better as we experience him more, as we have interaction with him, and as he proves his goodness, not in a way that he has to prove something, but in a way that he can't not. He just constantly pours out goodness. So like Beth said, if we haven't seen it yet, then we need to just keep looking for it, because it's chasing us down. Isn't that awesome? Oh God. I'm Jenna, if you don't know me, and in case you missed Dave's message before the notice, some people came in a little after that, but we're having a combined lunch today at Namutu Beach at 12:30, so just bring your own lunch and you'll see everybody down there. If it's raining, it won't happen, but otherwise we'll see you there. Okay. We are going to just have a little bit of fun this morning, and I want to talk about something it's a little bit of a funny one to talk about, but about devotion and distraction. And I've got a couple of questions for us, so here we go. When you have, you don't have to answer this out loud, you can if you want to, but just some self-reflective questions. When you get some time in your day, I'm asking myself to you know, you've got half an hour before you need to be somewhere. What is the go-to thing that you end up doing in that time? What would it be? Deepak's going to pray. Chris is on his phone. Yep, I'll be with Chris. Yep, lots of phone. Yeah, praying on your phone. Yep. It's normally something, pick up a little book maybe, watch some Netflix maybe in 15 minutes, pick up our phones. If I asked you what your quiet time or devotion was, just to yourself, what does that make you think of? You don't have to answer that out loud, but I just want you to just think. What does a quiet time or time with God in your day, what does that make you think of? Does the thought of it make you feel really excited and happy, like you can't wait for it? Does thinking about it make you feel a bit embarrassed? Does you feel like there's some obligation and something you can't keep up with when you think about it? There's no right or wrong answers, just by the way. Would you like to spend more time with God? Yeah. So what is stopping you? I'm talking to myself here as well. You know, devotion is this idea of when I was little and we were growing up, there would be something, you know, you had your quiet time. And it was, when I was little, it was just before bed. Mum and Dad would read us a Bible story and we'd pray. And I had a recited prayer that I would pray for every missionary that we knew in order. I would just name it out and then amen. And but the idea of a devotion is not a, Yeah, as we talk about this today, it's not something that we need to feel any obligation towards. I heard once that the enemy has come to make something that is an honour an obligation. It's our honour to spend time with God. It's our honour to be able to approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on our own and in our rooms or at our houses as we go for a walk. It's not something that we have to do. Jesus never said, have a quiet time. Half an hour, 1 hour. He didn't say that. Worship for a song, read the Bible for this long. But he said, come to me. Come to me. And it's our honour to be able to do that. Now, I know that this topic is not something that is necessarily something that we all struggle to make a priority. And I take my hat off if this is something that you have nailed and that every day you are consistent with your time with God. Because in our world right now, anything consistent deserves a massive medal. We don't live in a world of consistency. And if this is something that you feel like, oh, I've kind of got this already sorted, then I just, as we're going through this today, I just encourage you to be thinking of someone who you know doesn't and how you can get alongside them and how you can encourage them with the things that you've learnt and the things that you've been able to put into place or what it means to you so you can encourage and uplift them as well. There are lots of different reasons that things can get in the way, but the main one, I believe, is distraction. And I think it's just in general across our world right now. And I just want to read these. This is not funny, but we have to laugh, really. Okay, so this is some statistics, all right? In 2000, the year 2000, our attention span as people was 12 seconds on average. It's been dropping every year. And now after the introduction of digital technology available, it's dropped to, guess how long our attention span is now? Yeah, few. I can hear a little bit of the right answer there. It's 8 seconds. So you've lost attention with me speaking here. How many times so far? 8 seconds. And to put that in perspective, a goldfish that we'd mock and tease has the attention span of 9 seconds. So as humans, studies have shown that we have a shorter attention span than that of a goldfish. Make you feel good? This isn't to condemn us, but we have to know the world we live in. We have to know what's happening around us, because if we don't address distraction like this and the fact that we're not taught to concentrate, Zach and I have this really cool TED talk that we listen to sometimes of to remind ourselves, and there's a man in it and he says, how many of us were told to concentrate when we were little? And you know, we were all told that. How many of us say that to other people, oh, just concentrate, or to children? But then how many of us have ever actually been taught what it means to concentrate? Who teaches that? Lindell is going to take some courses on those who need concentration. In general, it's not something it's not defined or taught, is it? So so there's no wonder that distraction is becoming more and more. And we have something on us constantly, a lot of us, our phones or, you know, that we can just tap into whenever we want. And just one other little thing here. I read that the average American, so there's a couple of them here, but we'll just assume that's we're kind of included in that. So us as well can read approximately 200 to 400 words per minute. So to read 200 books in 1 year would take around about 417 hours. Okay, so that's over an hour a day. So that's a lot, right? 200 books. The average American, or I'm going to include us in that again, spends on social media 705 hours a year. That's nearly double. And spends on TV or Netflix, are you ready? 2,737 and a half hours a year on TV or Netflix. So instead of watching an hour, just one of those hours a day of Netflix before bed, we could read the whole Bible in 6 months if we read that instead. As, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. I feel like a lot, my excuse has always been in that I always want my quiet time to be better. And I don't know what that even means, but whatever it is that I'm doing, I always want to be doing more. And that's not a healthy thought, just by the way. But I always think the issue is I just don't have time. I don't have time for this. But I think COVID, if anything, taught us that we do have time. And even when we do, nothing much can change. We still, you know, I would love to say that out of COVID I came out of it reading my word for hours and hours in a day, but I did not. And that's okay, but it's just we need to know what we can do about it, and we need to be aware of it so that we can have strategies and ways to make time with God our priority again. I was just thinking about how I'm married to Zach, and how if we were to go on a date night once a week, which we don't, but if we were, then just as much my fault as Zach's. Every day's date day, eh, Zach? No, if we were, then it doesn't mean that even if we did that, it wouldn't mean automatically that we would have an amazing marriage, would it? But having that time together would mean that we have time to listen to each other, to talk, to understand where each other is at, and all of that kind of thing. So having this time with God each day isn't going to automatically make us amazing Christians, because, again, I don't even know what that means. But what it does is it creates a space for us to talk with our Father, God. It creates a space to interact, to hear his heart, to pour out our heart. And that's what makes it better, for lack of a better word. So the purpose in my mind of having devotion is that it becomes less of me and my thoughts and more of him and his. We become, we be with Jesus, we become like Jesus, and that lets us do what he would if he were us. You know those "what would Jesus do" bands? They're a bit 90s, but what would Jesus do today? Would he be on social media? Would he be answering calls all times of the day, regardless of what he was doing? Would he be spending all of his time hiding away? What would he be doing? Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, "Be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. Don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will." What a beautiful promise. We will have discernment to fully understand God's will if we take advantage of every day and spend our life for his purposes. Well, how can we do that if we don't know what his purposes are? How can we do that if I haven't met with him today and asked him, what does he want to do today? How can I do what he has in store? I'm not actually going to share that, but I am not a very structured person. I was just talking to Beth this morning and talking about how, you know, I wouldn't call myself creative either, but maybe I am, but I just am not structured anyway. I've never been that way, and I'm very last minute. I'm always late. This is something, a resolution for me this year, to not be late to things. And so you can hold me accountable, everybody. but for me, my quiet time with God doesn't look the same every day, and because my day-to-day life doesn't look the same every day. I work from home. I have my hand in a whole bunch of different pots around the place, and my Mondays never look the same. My Monday to Tuesday never look. Everything is different every day. So I don't have a set quiet time space, because it's always different. But what I do is I try and focus on making sure I have some space. And I'm not always good at it. And sometimes I don't have time because I slept in too long. But what the days that happens are so noticeable, and you will know this for yourselves. The days that you don't get time to spend with God, they just wreak havoc. And it might not be a black and white type of a thing, but it's a slow fade to grey where we end up spending less and less time because we get more and more busy and prioritise other things, and then all of a sudden we're losing our temper a bit more fast, and when things happen we don't quite know what to do. And then I always find that when I just refocus and recenter and put God back at my priority again, then funnily enough, things just all fall into line and I have patience and I'm kind, and it's just not a coincidence really, is it? I actually do something. We're going to get a few people to share in a moment about what their quiet time looks like for them and what devotion looks like for them. But for me, one thing that I do is I often get really extremely anxious. And it's not something I really talk about, but and I probably don't seem like that type of person, but I do. And I, you know that feeling when you just get really tight and you like that. And so when I, in the mornings, I have learned that if I make a list, this is part of my quiet time. If I do it in the morning, I feel like it sets me up for the day. Some people do it in the evenings or lunch, whenever. But for the morning, for me, is it sets me up. And so if I make a list of every single thing that I'm worried about, everything, like everything, it could be very little or large, and I write them down, and then I picture myself putting them at the feet of Jesus and then telling him he needs to either give me a solution or remove them. And then as I go throughout my day, any time that thought pops back of that worry or that fear or that anxiety, instead of jumping back on that thought and running around and around in my head with it, I can immediately tell it, no, you're at Jesus' feet, he is dealing with this, and then I can carry on, doesn't waste my time. And so the next day, when I'm in the habit of this daily, it gets to the point where in the mornings I have to really think of something to write down because they're all gone. Because once I put it down, I can't write it again the next day because I've already written it. It's already at the feet of Jesus. He takes it and he removes it. And it says in Psalm 55:22, so here's what I've learnt through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. Isn't that cool? So there's just a little tip. I don't know if that's helpful for anyone, but that's something that you can take for yourself if you'd like, if that would be helpful. But you have to remember not to pick it back up. That's the trick. Okay, I think we're going to hear from a couple of people. So I'm going to invite Zach's going to come up. And Zach's just going to tell us what it means to him to have his quiet time, how that looks, and yeah.
Cool. For me, my quiet time came out of a necessity. So 7 years ago, I started my own business. And then about 6.5 years ago, I realized that I needed to have a quiet time, I needed a devotion, and I realized I couldn't really do the business idea by myself. So I start work roughly between 7 to 7:30. I get up structurally 5 days a week, 5 to 5:30, depending on what we're doing. I have to have about an hour to myself. It's like a quiet time between me and God. I only read for about 10 minutes of that at the most, but the rest of the time is just me processing ideas for the day. It's just a debrief almost for my day. It's not a stressful time. There's no phone, no computer. My computer stays on standby, but it's off, so I've got a blank screen. I will not touch it for that first hour. But what I find is it sets my processes, my thought patterns up for the day, and any stuff that comes, concerns, any issues that arise at work are not... they're not worries as such anymore. They're more of just a problem-solving thing, and problem-solving I enjoy. So it sets me up for my day in a slightly different way than normal, I suppose. But, yeah, it's how I work, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's good. So taking time, yeah. So taking that time to get God's perspective on what's coming for the day. Coral is going to come in and share. Get myself out of there. Yeah, good on you.
Okay. Sorry, it is a little bit big. It's not too long. So for a long time, I really struggled, for years actually, to spend time with God. I've always been a bit of a perfectionist, so I would put a lot of pressure on myself to have that perfect, quiet time with God. My husband, Isaiah, and myself, we have 6 children together, which has been frantic and busy at times, to say the least. And so in recent years, I've had to be honest and get real with myself and get rid of the perfectionism thing. Although I do sometimes have a little bit of perfectionism. But anyway, I no longer strive for that perfect quiet time with God anymore. And instead of scheduling time with God into my life and just hoping that it works out, I now include him into my entire day and night, just as though like he's part of the family, which he is. So for me, for my time with God starts when I wake up. Sometimes I'll get up and spend moments with him. I try to get up before the kids, but someone always senses that I'm up. So other times I'll just lie in bed and talk to him before I get up. I try to commit every part of my day talking to him and listening to him without putting pressure on myself. I've discovered that I can spend time with God while I'm driving the kids to school, while I'm making school lunches, while I'm doing the groceries, when I'm at the cricket game. And you know, cricket goes for a long time, so there's a lot of time to be spent with God at cricket. Another thing now, instead of getting my house clean and tidy before I spend time with God, quite often I tell myself, right, I'm going to kneel down for 5 minutes and just talk to God, and then I'll do the bathroom. And then while I'm cleaning the bathroom, I'll be speaking to God still and listening to what he's saying, and it makes the bathroom cleaning not so bad. We have a whiteboard on our dining room wall. So throughout the day, I'll write down little scriptures and things that God might be speaking to me about through the day. And then at the end of my day, which is fairly late at night, once everyone's asleep, I might spend 10 minutes with God, or I might spend an hour with God. And once I get myself to bed, I just say to God, God, while I'm asleep, give me a dream, or speak to me while I'm sleeping. Sometimes he'll wake me up in the night and I'll get up and spend a bit of time with him then too. So when I think about it, some of my greatest times with God have been in the busyness and the chaos of life. I've discovered that God wants to be in the good, and he wants to be in the bad, and he wants to be in the ugly of our lives. He wants to be included in the chaos, and he doesn't require perfection. He just requires our heart and our willingness to let him spend time with us.
Isn't that so encouraging? And that's, thank you, Coral. That's perfectly wording what I was going to say in a little bit about. It's not an obligation. It's not like we don't, because that's something I've struggled with as well. Like, I just want to, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it right. I don't want to spend 5 minutes. I want to spend an hour. But we don't have that always, or we don't make time for that always. And so, for lots of reasons. And so to be able to just take him throughout the day like that is beautiful. And Mr. Colin Beck.
Cool.
Thanks, Colin. Hi, guys. God told me I'm supposed to have a ball up here, okay? So no worries. Okay, I just want to, Jenna, said I think she said 3 minutes, and I texted this morning, I said, was that 3 or 30? And so that she put me on the right path after that, see? She was worried. No, but no worries. Hey, just to start off, I just want to say, you know, Jesus is our role model, right? So he's the one we're following, you know, Jesus lives in us. And so if you ever want to find out for your own life what you should be doing, you follow Jesus, right? Have a look what he did, right? And so just at the start, I'll just read this verse here, Mark 1:35. And early in the morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And goes on, the other disciples hunted him down and found him. And then he told them what he was going to do that day. And so the thing was, Jesus left everyone in the night, or early in the morning, went out to a lonely place and prayed. You know, just for myself, no, not yet. Better not jump ahead. The other thing in the Bible, it says, if the axe is dull, the edge unsharpened, right? More strength is needed. Now, we don't want to be in our lives like chickens with the head cut off, right? You don't want to be running around banging into stuff. You don't want to waste your day, right? And I've been in that situation. I know I haven't been plugging in. I know that I can bang into stuff, and man, I can make a mess of stuff. You can do months of damage in a couple of minutes, right? And you know, we don't want to be like that. We want to have a sharp axe. You know, I liken it to a chainsaw. I'm a chainsaw man, right? I cut a lot of trees down, right? The trees, when you're cutting them with a chainsaw, if you hit a nail or something, or someone, one of my kids made a jolly, I'm not allowed to blame, I'm not allowed to moan, but someone put a nail in a tree. I was cutting it up, and for some reason I hit the nail, and it hit on the side of the chainsaw, and the whole chainsaw cuts crooked, right? And straight away, that's it, go and sharpen it, right? And it's the same in life, you know. When you're not sharp, you know, when you're cutting crooked, you've got to stop. Get back to God, you know. Get back to the one who sharpens you up. And so, you know, there's another verse here. It's Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. We're here to reign, guys. Reign. We're kings. You know, we're not the tail. You know, we're kings and priests, and that's who God's made us to be. He wants us to plug in every day. He wants us to be victorious and you know, go forward. You know, and what He wants us to do. So I just worked out I'm 37 years old in the Lord, right? So I'm still a young man, okay? Just a young man. You know, I was just saying, when a baby's born, they take a lot of food to grow up to, you know, one of those 9-year-olds or 8-year-olds. And then when they hit a teenager, mate, do they eat? I got 6 boys. I tell you what, We're looking at eating 2 beasts every year, okay? So, those boys, I tell you what, we sort of have a cap, like there's seven of us at our table every night, and one boy's down in Wellington, but you know, those boys, if you got a meat like well, put it this way, the meat's never big enough, okay? They just want more, and so I'm just saying, all the food that goes into those children to make them grow up to men is colossal. And, you know, the Bible says faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. If I'm 37 years old in the Lord, you know, how much word of God has gone in? You know, I look at Daphne, you know, and others around here, you know, you think of the word of God that's been implanted in them to make them grow. And you know, just there's many, okay, around. And so what I'm saying is, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So So just getting on to my quiet time. My day, who's busy? Who's busy? Who's got a busy life? Okay, not many. Oh, you guys, mate, how do you do it? Okay, I've got a real busy life, okay? I've got 6 kids, I've got a job, I've got to go to work, I've got a bit of a farmlet, I've got to run, I've got my wife, you know. Every husband knows that's a major, okay? So, you know, just... there's a lot of commitments, you know. I've got all these boys that they want this, or they, you know, you gotta be around to be there, right? So I've got all these commitments, right? And so just how my day. So I start at 7:30 at McCurdy's. I fix trucks, work all day, finish at 5, right? So my day starts at 5:30. The alarm goes off, room service comes into the door with a breakfast in bed, and I sit up on bed, right? And by the way, I have got an awesome wife, I tell you. Yeah, I have never seen any other woman that does what she does. She is absolutely awesome, okay? And so I wouldn't be here today, and a lot of my life is from her, okay? And I mean that. Okay, so room service hits. I get up, I get the Bible, I say, okay, God, I need to hear from you today, because, you know, I need to hear from you. So I read some Bible, I open the Bible, first I ask him, what do you want me to read, you know, and I ask him to speak to me. I read some Bible, I pray, so what's that, Habast? So right through to 5:15, right? So that's what I do. I have time with God, right? I praise him, I thank him, and all the things. I've got heaps of things to pray for, okay? And to read, and I let him speak to me. At 6:15, I go up, and I meet with my wife. She's always up before me. She's awesome, I tell you. Anyway, she gets up, and she's got stuff to do. And at 6:15, we meet and have a prayer time. So we've been doing this for only for about 3 or so years. I'm not sure how long, okay? So we meet for a prayer time. I pray with her for 15 minutes. And so we got lots of things to pray for. Actually, this hit because we had a bit of crisis in our family. And suddenly we realized, like, I'd been 35 or 32 years or whatever it was in the Lord. And I never really had a set time to pray with my wife. You know, I mean, sure, we'd pray, and we'd do this, and we'd do that. You know, we'd pray here, but nothing structured, nothing set down. And so what we did was, this has been going for, I don't know, 3 or maybe more, maybe 4 years, I don't know. But we pray together, 15 minutes, we pray for all our children. We pray for, we've got a whole list, guys. Okay, pray for all their future wives. We pray for all what's going on. We pray for their jobs. We pray for, okay, look, if you want to know, the Bible says pray for your authorities, okay? First of all, pray for your authorities. So there's things in that we do. We pray for our leaders of this country. We pray for what's going on in America. We pray for all those sort of things. And then we bring it down. We pray for different things like, other authorities in our lives, like McCurdy's, different places of work, you know, those. So what I'm saying is, it's quite a structured sort of prayer thing, and we pray these things every day, and we've seen God, you know, it came out of crisis, and we've seen God break through in that crisis, and once we saw the breakthrough, we thought, man, we're just going to keep going, and we've seen all these sort of things happen, and so you know. Number one, hi, for quiet time, 3 words, read your Bible, okay? So, got to have the Bible, got to have the Word of God in there. And, heck, I'm being naughty. Okay, look, I better stop. Okay, so just in your quiet time, you know, there's the Word of God, there's worshipping God, there's praising Him, okay? So, just put all those things in your quiet time. You know, we have on our wall at home, on the toilet, the whole toilet walls fill up with scriptures. So when you've got nothing to do, you just sit there and read the scriptures, right? And in there it says, there's one verse that sort of really stands out to me while I'm thinking about it, and it says Psalm 119, verse 164. Anybody know it? Come on. Say? Oh, no, no. Okay, it says, seven times a day I will praise you. Okay, seven times a day I will praise you out loud. Okay, and that's I put that into my life, right? Seven times a day, you know. I try doing that, and anyway, so just toilet wall stuff, mate. Okay, so put it on the toilet wall and just yeah. Anyway, I better go. Hey, that's about it. Thanks.
Thanks, Colin. I think we're going to have to get him back to have his own section. Yeah. How incredible. Three different people and three different ways to look at what a quiet time and devotion looks like. And we were going to have some time for other people to share, but we were not going to have time for that. So next time we'll do that. But I want you to take from this, what I love is that everything that I just said before, or I'll just skip over that bit, are the things that these people spoke and said word for word what I had written. And I didn't know what they were going to share. I didn't know what their time looked like. But Jesus has things every week, every day, every moment that he's trying to speak to us. And I really feel like that even that is a confirmation of what he's saying to us. Follow Jesus's ways. You don't have to be legalistic about it. Do what you can when you can. And it's like an insatiable hunger. The more you have the time with God, the more you want it. And like Colin said, put the word in there. Get some worship going. So I really hope that's encouraging. And one last thing before we wrap up. I just also really encourage you to talk with someone about this. We're not designed to do things on our own. We are designed to do things in community and in relationship with each other. So share what you're doing with someone. If you're reading through a cool Bible app program or something like that, share it with somebody. If you're struggling and need accountability, share it with someone you trust. And allow someone to speak into you and have permission to do that to someone else as well. And just one last thing. When Colin mentioned about Jesus getting up early, I love that. And I also love, because he did, we know that, it's all through, but I also love how many times a day did the disciples find Jesus napping? How many times? Because he was up early. He can't. He needed to have time to have a nap and have a rest. And also, that is a form of worship to God, is resting as well. So we don't have to be go, go, go all the time, but actually stopping in the busyness and saying, I'm going to set my alarm for 20 minutes and I'm going to close my eyes and have a nap, is also a way that we can just spend time with our God. So I want to pray for us all as we head off today. God, I just thank you so much that it is our honor to come to you. It is our honor to come and be able to speak with you, to hear your voice, to have your presence in our lives, and to be used by you to show others and point them towards who you are, Father. I just really pray a real fire in this house, God, of willingness to spend time with you at whatever cost it is, God, that nothing comes easy, but Jesus, you are worth it, and we just declare that today, Father. We make you a priority. Just agree with me if that's something that you want for this year. We make you a priority. We choose that, God. You never push your way into our lives, but you are always there ready for us, Father. We choose to put you first again and again every day, God. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Awesome. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll see those of you who can make it at 12:30 at Namuta Beach. And just a reminder, there will be some people up here now. If you do want to have some prayer for anything at all, come on up and we'll go from there.